Now, hear the good news and be not afraid.
Good morning. Welcome to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. Father PJ, good morning.
Good morning, Father.
We are approaching one of the best moments in the history of the human salvation. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty, ever-living God, who, as an example of humility for the human race, to follow cause our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever, and the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When I said the huge moment in the history of the human being, it's because each year this moment reminds us how fragile we are and how powerful is the suffering from our Lord Jesus Christ to show us, especially in this moment of the history of the human as well, show us the necessity to the real and a tangible example to love and mercy.
The crowds that today will cry Hosanna in the highest will, by the end of the week, be calling crucify him. So we're very fickle. We're very fragile. That's a good word that you used, Father. And we're easily swayed. And so it's important during these days that we're really able to focus and direct and with habitual intention, right, get our heads and our hearts where they need to be.
Because also is the final moment in our race, in our, if may I, journey to approach salvation. But it's inevitable to have salvation without suffering, without crucifixion, without pain.
Right. You know, I often encourage people, begin with the end in mind. I often encourage people, like, to make their fast during Lent progressive, so to make it get a little bit harder each week. And really, you should have a goal for Holy Week, what you want your fasting to look like, so that you can engage the feasts as best as you properly can. And so if you want to get to bread and water by Holy Week, then you need to be, you know, bread and water and vegetables the week before, and bread and water and vegetables and fruit the week before, something like that, right? But the point here is, whatever you're using, the proximate proper preparation, the immediate preparation for Holy Week, should be real intentional, real on purpose. I shouldn't just blunder back into church like I have every other year.
And it's very interesting how you say that, because sometimes we said, okay, done. Everything is done. Because it's Holy Week, it's done. Not really. We have been preparing ourselves just for the beginning of the week until the end of the week.
Right.
Not only for that specific moment. It's that transcendental moment of salvation from our souls, thanks be to God.
Well, you know, one of the things, so this notion that the liturgy and the year is itself progressive, like I didn't make this up, right? This is coming from the books themselves. And Vatican II itself, right, says that the Paschal fast, that is the fast from Holy Thursday night onward, is to remain the most solemn of the year. Now, in principle, that means that whatever you're doing fast-wise, like the most intense period you've got, is from after Mass Holy Thursday until whenever you go to Mass for Easter Sunday. So when I'm trying to get people to go to the Easter Vigil, I say, if you come to the Vigil, you can end your fast early. I think in practice what people do is they keep Good Friday reasonably well.
Correct.
And then on Saturday, they act like it's just another day. But Saturday is just as important as Thursday and Friday were. And if you cheat ahead of time, then the feasting on Easter can't mean what it's supposed to.
Absolutely. And at the same time, the mortification that we're talking in some of our programs, this is the moment to face the mortification because we are a company with the main mortificator in the history of the human being.
There's a saying I repeat often from the Desert Fathers, right? But if you die before you die, or sometimes if you learn to die before you die, then you won't have to die when you die.
Wow.
And that's the wisdom of the tradition here, encapsulating all of this, right? That we mortify ourselves in order to enter into the Lord's own passion and death. And if we can do that, then our own life will look very, very different.
Probably will be an aside question for you. It's true that we are not calling to pray the Holy Rosary on Good Friday?
I mean, if you wanted, like, in your own, it's not forbidden, right? So if you want to, and if you're going to do that, you should be reciting the Sorrowful Mysteries probably just straight, right? There are other rosary-type passion devotions that are also appropriate for the day.
The
Seven Sorrows, Rosary of Our Lady, and that sort of thing. The Passionists have something, too. I don't really know anything about that, but I know it exists. I would say, of all days, just the Jesus prayer over and over again, right? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. If there's ever a day to do it, that's the day.
Divine Mercy Chaplet.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, absolutely. And, of course, the Divine Mercy Novena begins on Good Friday. And sometimes people get a little fusty about this because they say, well, it sort of detracts from the Good Friday liturgy itself. Well, I suppose if you were, like, reciting the Novena publicly at the end of the service that's meant to end in silence, that would be a distraction. But I'm not going to say that at some other point in the day people can't come to church and pray a Novena. That seems wildly counterintuitive.
So the Novena ending in Good Friday. Ending.
The Novena for Divine Mercy would begin on Good Friday and then end on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Correct.
Right. So but the move here, right, is like the feasts don't have to be in competition with each other. When we do them
Absolutely.
Right, they're working together.
Finally, it's mercy that came from the heart of God. Iowa Catholic Radio, be not afraid.
Are you born again? Is faith alone enough? Get answers to these and other crucial questions as Iowa Catholic Radio presents Catholic convert and apologist Steve Ray with his compelling talk, Born Again? Faith Alone? What Must I Do to Be Saved? Thursday, April 7th at St. Francis of Assisi in West Des Moines. Steve takes you on a biblical journey all the way back to Abraham. Don't miss Steve Ray, Thursday, April 7th, 6 p.m., St. Francis of Assisi Parish. Visit iowacatholicradio.com to register.
Attention, ladies. The Iowa Catholic Radio Ladies Luncheon is back. Join us at noon on Thursday, April 21st at St. Augustine Parish in Des Moines. Kelly Walquist, founder of WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, will present her talk, Message of Mercy. Kelly's gift of weaving personal stories and scripture together with practical advice will help you live the joy of the gospel with missionary zeal. Don't miss the Ladies Luncheon Thursday, April 21st at St. Augustine. Register now at iowacatholicradio.com.
I went to church and just sat there and listened. I really didn't absorb anything. I think I just found myself believing that I didn't need God. I just had everything under control, and church was actually a burden to me. I had this sin that I carried in my heart for a long time, and I told myself for many, many years that the Lord wouldn't forgive me for this. When Father in the confessional says, "Your sins are forgiven," there truly is a feeling of weight lifted off. I don't care if it's two or three little sins that you're carrying, there's a feeling of I can breathe deeply again. I feel pure inside, and I'm ready to come to Mass. You can have a beautiful car, a big fancy home. If you don't have Christ in your life, there's an emptiness that's there. When you come home to the church, you're coming home to a Catholic family where people today just embrace you.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
60 Seconds with Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen.
This universe of ours is a free universe. It is a universe of character making, of soul making. Almighty God has placed into our hands. Think of it. The power to make ourselves saints or devils. It is up to us. There are some laws that we cannot disobey. For example, the law of gravitation and certain biological laws like circulation of blood. But in a moral universe, we are free either to obey the laws of God or to disobey them. Just as we are perfectly free, for example, to obey the laws of health or to disobey them.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
This Easter holiday, see the movie based on the inspiring true story.
Figured it out.
I'm going to be a priest.
For Halloween.
Of Father Stu.
No one wants to hear the gospel from the mouth of a gangster.
Academy Award nominee Mark Wahlberg.
Maybe that's exactly what they need.
And Academy Award winner Mel Gibson.
Man don't lose when he gets knocked down, but when he won't get up.
God ain't giving up on you. Don't you dare go giving up on yourself.
When the man comes around.
Father Stu, exclusively in movie theaters April 13th. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio. The first segment, we're talking about the spiritual preparation for this Palm Sunday. But also, this Palm Sunday have an a beauty moments in terms of liturgy. Let us talking about it. Father, let us begin with the red vestments. Mm-hmm. Red vestments. Why?
So red's associated with blood. I've mentioned in other places that red attached to the Holy Spirit is relatively recent. But red attached to blood is pretty old. So red for Martyrs' Days or red for Palm Sunday and Good Friday, for Palm Sunday at least, is very old. Good Friday has often been in black, and that changed to red in the reforms of the Council. There are kind of complicated reasons for that that have mostly to do with like transferring the Blessed Sacrament. But the main idea here, right, is that we're really beginning the celebration of the Lord's Passion. It's not like these events, even though the days mark particular moments in the events of the Lord's Passion. Much like the Mass, sort of Christ makes himself present throughout, this is all a celebration of the Lord's Passion, his suffering and death.
We're talking about procession. Mm-hmm. That is very characteristic, very, very special moment. Why we process?
So, because Jesus was involved in a procession today is the first move, right? And so this is one of the things, the rites that the Church keeps for Holy Week are among the oldest that we have, and they really derive from the experience of the Church in Jerusalem. So they were brought back to Rome by a pilgrim in the 4th century who had been to Jerusalem and saw how the Christians there still kept the feasts, much as we've said in the past about St. Francis bringing his experience of pilgrimage back to Italy. So the procession with the palms is a thing that Christians just kept doing in Jerusalem because they remembered the first time that it happened, and so we do the same.
Excellent. And the palms itself, mm-hmm. the palms themselves, sometimes for these ecologist movements said, it's just against the nature, blah, 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 blah. But the palms have a special meaning for us in terms of our faith.
So palms are significant on several levels. It's worth noting, I don't know what they look like. What do the palms look like in Colombia? Do they look like the ones we have here?
Exactly. Yes, exactly the same.
So in the Mediterranean, they often they're a different kind of palm tree, so they don't look exactly like what we have here. And the first time I experienced that, I was a little weirded out, but it's because I'm from Iowa and don't know palm trees very well. So palms, and specifically this kind of a procession, have historically been associated with military victory, and so the Lord riding into town. This is almost like a knight riding into the castle on a white horse, right? Like and the people carrying palm branches. This is like a ticker tape parade after the war. The victor is coming home, or maybe better, going out to war, and the people are cheering him on as he goes to fight. There's a very old important poem, one of the oldest things in English, in the English language, called "Piers the Plowman," and in it the image is of Christ on the donkey, riding on a horse with a lance, running out to meet the devil in battle.
Wow!
And the martial imagery is carried throughout. It's also intended, this is very deliberate in the course of the liturgy, the procession of Palm Sunday is meant to parallel the procession on Candlemas, or the day of the presentation of the Lord. Uh-huh. And the liturgies are set up in very much the same way. So you begin somewhere that is not inside the church. You have a solemn blessing of the objects, candles in the one place, palms in another, a reading of a gospel, and then a sort of a declaration of a procession. And the idea is that this is a sung procession to sing us into the church. The priest ideally vested differently for the procession than for the Mass itself, so that there's a clear distinction between the two. And then of course, these are the liturgies that have extra gospels, right? Because you have a gospel on the front end and then a gospel in the middle.
This is it's very moving at that moment because it's a lot of people welcoming, and represent many of us in the good attitude to our Lord. But what happened later? Crucified.
That's right.
Crucified.
That's
crucified.
Right. So you know, the turn in the liturgy itself is intended to be dramatic. That we who are shouting Hosanna wind up being we who cry crucify him.
Wow.
And it is startling, and it's stark when we experience it ourselves. It's ironic, right, that most of us take the palms home, palms which are a sign of victory, and we weave them into the form of a cross.
Yes.
So you take the sign of victory and you replace it with the sign of execution and humiliation. But of course, what he does, right, is he's the only one that could take the sign of humiliation and make it the sign of glory.
Suffering is necessary to conquer victory and freedom as well. Another sign is we have two pieces of the gospel. We have one gospel at the main entrance of the church, and then the gospel proper from the liturgy of the word as well.
That's right. So you have the gospel of the palms and then the gospel of the passion. Just as earlier on you have the gospel essentially of the candles and the gospel of the feast. Note that both of these are about the Lord coming into a place.
Correct.
So in the presentation of the Lord, Jesus, as a child, is presented in the temple. The Lord of the temple now enters into the temple. So it's like in some ways he's been absent and now he's present in the flesh. Likewise, now you have the Lord's entry into the city. It's his city. He literally is the one that commanded it be built and all of its all the requirements around the temple and all of that. And yet now he comes in the flesh, but he comes in the flesh, not on a white horse, not wearing armor, not wearing a crown, on the back of a donkey, surrounded by throngs of the poor.
Iowa Catholic Radio, Pineda Frey.
Is the Eucharist really Jesus or merely a symbol? Find out as Catholic convert and apologist Steve Ray presents Defending the Eucharist. You are what you eat. Friday evening, April 8th at Holy Spirit Parish in Creston. Catholic convert and apologist Steve Ray will unpack the biblical and historical basis for this crucial teaching, helping you understand and defend the Blessed Sacrament. That's Friday, April 8th, 6 p.m. at Holy Spirit Parish in Creston. Free will offering accepted. Visit iowacatholicradio.com to register.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Knights of Columbus, Borman and Pfeiffer agencies, specializing in life insurance, long-term care insurance, disability income insurance, and retirement annuities. Are you looking for a career? We are in search of men with an entrepreneurial spirit and a strong desire to live Catholic values. Knights of Columbus is seeking field agents to serve throughout the state of Iowa. Visit kofc.org/careers. The Knights of Columbus need you now, and one day you might need the Knights. That's kofc.org/careers to learn more.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. Established in Des Moines in 1924, St. Vincent de Paul assists those living in poverty to become self-sufficient by helping to remove roadblocks on their journey out of poverty. St. Vincent de Paul helps with food, clothing, and shelter, while also offering classes in financial literacy, high school completion, career readiness, and prisoner reentry. Shop, donate, volunteer, serve. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul, svdpdsm.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinserra.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
This is a segment about small Catholic innovations that made a huge impact from the OSV Institute for Catholic Innovation. There's another saint besides St. Nicholas that shaped Christmas as we know it. St. Boniface was an 8th century bishop sent to catechize German pagans. One of their winter traditions was to decorate an oak tree and perform a pagan ritual around it. Boniface did not approve. He chopped down the oak tree in one fell swoop. Behind the fallen oak was an evergreen. St. Boniface decided to preach about Jesus' gift of eternal life. The Germans were amazed, maybe by this Jack Bishop who chopped down a huge tree in one go, but mostly by Jesus. They put decorated evergreens in their homes to celebrate the birth of Jesus, so you can thank Catholic Innovation for Christmas trees. Learn more about what OSV Institute is doing to inspire and encourage Catholic innovation at osvinstitute.com.
Welcome back to Be Not Afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio, Palm Sunday. The heart of this liturgy of the word, I'm talking about the second gospel, may I use that expression? Mm-hmm. We're talking about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we read the passion of our Lord, could be a risk only to keep in our minds and our hearts that is an memorable experience versus that is an, a real happening event. Mm-hmm. That moving into the history of our salvation, present in the painful experience from our Lord Jesus Christ. This comment may try to make a difference between intellectual interpretation about the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ versus an, a practical and a real sacrifice for you and me.
So one of the things that really marks Holy Week as distinct from the rest of the year is that in our tradition, in the Roman Rite, the ritual form itself is noted for its restraint and simplicity. The Eastern rites get very, very complicated. There's all kinds of complex chants, and there's all kinds of stuff that happens, and lots of people, and even stranger clothes. Like, people think we're fussy, and they really haven't seen anything. It's a Protestant bias in American Catholicism. The rituals of Holy Week, though, everything's like all that's out the window. Mm-hmm. We're deliberately trying to stir up people's passions.
Wow.
So ordinarily in the Mass, we're trying to be fairly restrained. And if there is a most passionate moment, it would be during the Eucharistic prayer itself, right, in the reception of Holy Communion. But here, we're very deliberately trying to arouse emotions in the hearts of the people to stir them primarily to contrition, to compunction, to conviction of their sins, to repentance, and to be receptive to the grace that God's going to bring then with the joy of the resurrection.
Absolutely. To me, it's an a very touchable when I read as a first person. Mm-hmm. He is suffering for me. Mm-hmm. He is not an locutor. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. He is speaking to me. He's doing this for me. Mm-hmm. And probably it's also an invitation for all our audience to join us and living this passion of our Lord Jesus Christ at the moment of readings as well, you know, because it could be a little bit distractive when we hear from somebody reading on behalf of us.
You know, the tradition of the kind of multiple choral reading of the text is interesting. The thing that we have now, where like there are published pamphlets and people can follow along and then read their parts and whatever, that is really new. That's like in the last 40 years. But the tradition of having multiple people reading the Passion is very, very ancient. And the tradition used to be that you would have three deacons, even if they were usually priests vested as deacons, but you would have three deacons reading sort of the three main parts. So sort of the narration, the voice, and the Christ. Or the celebrant reading the Christ parts and then the two deacons reading the other. And of course, the gospel is ordinarily reserved to the deacon, not to the priest. On a purely emotional level here for me, I find the reading of the Passion one of the most striking moments of the year, because while I say the words of the Lord all the time, I read the gospel at daily Mass almost every day, right? And certainly at every Mass, I'm reciting the Lord's own words. To say all those words and some of the very hard ones, like it's a much more evocative experience than happens the rest of the year.
Why the Holy Mother, the Church, invite us to, don't use the word commandments, mm-hmm. to pray when we are reading the Holy Scripture? Because sometimes the people did not realize when you start the gospel, the Lord be with you. Mm-hmm. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke or Matthew, mm-hmm. whatever. And some people said this part of the routine, and it's not like that.
No, the greeting before the gospel and the signing of the text are really intended to parallel the preface from the Eucharistic prayer. So the Lord be with you and with your spirit. The Lord be with you and with your spirit. A reading from Lift Up Your Hearts. That's what's meant to be going on there. And so, so the reason that's important is because the two real high points of the Mass are then articulated by these greetings, and the same greeting, so that you can associate them with each other. But they're not meant to be, like, one should no more just lapse into passivity during the gospel than you should lapse into passivity during the preface. These are the moments that prepare you for the most important thing you're going to do all week.
Absolutely. I like to use when I approach the confessionary and the people arrive with a significant, painful, and experience of hardness in terms of sinfulness, I ask him as a penance to pray 5 Hail Mary, to praise and console the 5 wounds from our Lord Jesus Christ that remind the person that the Lord is suffering with the person and also provide healing simultaneously.
Yeah, so the healing comes through the wounds. Like, that's the part that we have to get. We think wounds are bad because our experience of them hurts, and it does. And you have to have that experience first, or you can't understand why this is powerful.
Absolutely.
But Christ's wounds are what bring healing to the rest of us, and they sanctify and redeem and sort of capacitate our wounds and our woundedness to heal in turn. And that's what makes all the difference. That's how we come to share in the Lord's own passion.
Approaching our ending program today, Father, could you please send us your blessing?
May the passion of the Lord Jesus be on your heart and mind this holy weekend always, that you might celebrate the mysteries worthily and well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Be not afraid, Iowa Catholic Radio.
Be not afraid. Jesus is on the way to encounter you.
Be not afraid is underwritten by Associated Ophthalmologists.